With the Glasgow Climate Summit rapidly approaching, Pacific Island nations are redoubling their efforts to press Australia and other major polluting nations to make drastic cuts to carbon emissions. And it's not just Australia feeling the pressure. China's foreign minister yesterday held his first ever meeting with his Pacific Island counterparts. But some Pacific Island countries aren't happy with the way Beijing described the meeting's outcomes and are stressing that they use the gathering to press Beijing to cooperate with the United States to curb emissions. Here's Foreign Affairs reporter Stephen Jedgetts.
The video is simple. A young man in the Pacific Island nation of Kiribati, wearing traditional garb, stands next to the sea. He warns that rising waters and increasingly devastating storms, both powered by climate change, could render his home uninhabitable.
It makes our homes less safe. It makes our drinking water salty. Eventually, it will make it impossible for us to live here.
It's a message from the Pacific Conference of Churches, one of several groups from the region which have long pressed for sharper cuts to emissions to stave off catastrophe. And this afternoon, a coalition of civil society organisations, the Pacific Islands Climate Action Network, issued their demands for the Glasgow Climate Summit. One of the group's representatives is former Kiribati President Anote Tong.
The science is clear, and I've always failed to understand why only smart intelligent people cannot come to terms with the reality of what is coming.
The group's demands are clear. It wants sharper emissions cuts to keep global heating under 1.5 degrees. It also wants an immediate end to fossil fuel subsidies and an end to new coal, oil and gas projects fueling climate change. It's also calling on developed countries to commit climate finance of at least $100 billion per year from 2020. And Mr. Tong says Australia, which still hasn't committed to a new 2030 target for Glasgow, has been one of the countries slowest to act.
But of course, Australia has been the one, the laggard behind in all of this, not just in the Pacific, but I think even at the global level. And so it really needs to step up.
But Pacific nations aren't just focused on Australia. China, which is the world's largest emitter, is also in focus. Yesterday, China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi held his first meeting with Pacific Island foreign ministers. Tess Newton-Cain, who's the project lead for the Pacific Hub at Griffith Asia Institute, says the meeting is quite significant.
It's possibly a statement of ambition, but also maybe a statement of its current status, which is that it obviously exercises a degree of influence and convening power.
After the meeting, Beijing issued a joint statement saying it had promised to set up a new climate change cooperation centre, as well as a poverty alleviation facility and a new emergency supplies reserve. But details are non-existent, and it's not clear whether these new centres will be physical bricks and mortar institutions, where they'll be located, or how much they will cost.
In the Pacific, we're well used to people making grandiose announcements and then having to wait a long time to actually see what plays out. I think we need to not get too excited about the fact that an announcement's been made until, as you say, we know more about the details.
And there are already some murmurs of unease emerging from the region in the wake of the meeting. The, quote, joint statement issued by China also includes several well-worn talking points used by Beijing, praising China's achievements, endorsing its position on Taiwan, and warning against boycotts of the Beijing Winter Olympics. One Pacific representative the ABC spoke to indicated his nation didn't entirely endorse or sign off on the statement, although he wouldn't go into details and requested anonymity because the matter is sensitive. And the Federated States of Micronesia issued its own account of the meeting, saying that it only endorsed, quote, the bulk of the Chinese statement, and stressing it used the meeting to press Wang Yi not to let competition with the US impede cooperation on climate change. Tess Newton-Cain again.
I think it is significant that FSM has zeroed in on that. It indicates that perhaps that was a bigger part of the conversations than we might be led to believe simply by reading the communique.
The boy on the beach also has just one message. His focus is on the climate and his future.
Save our homes. Protect God's creation. And do it now.
And in just 9 days, leaders will begin to gather in Glasgow to decide what his future might look like.
Foreign Affairs reporter Stephen Jedgetts.